The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure. We will be sure. Oh, glory,
glory, glory,
oh,
glory, glory.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtapositioning us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh,
glory,
glory,
glory.
Oh.
Good morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know my voice already. It's Levin Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. I don't know what it is you do at 11 o'clock in the morning, but whatever it is you do, I'm happy that you do that do and that you do that do with me. You know, sometimes I sit at home. It's an open line show today. You all can feel free to give me a call. And I'll tell you why it's open line. Like, there's so many things that are happening in the news that I want to give you all an opportunity to talk about it, right? But I want to play this into your psyche first, because I don't know if we realize or if we have realized or if we include in our psychological positions the utterances of the man that is dubbed the father of the nation when he suggested that in order to have a nation, it was something that we had to fight for. And, you know, sometimes you become very disheartened with the way nation development, national development, nationhood looks. But the thing about being in a fight is every now and again, you come out tattered and torn, right? You come out a bit bruised and sometimes busted. And that is all in the trek toward finer nationhood, I imagine. I don't know in its finality what the end destination of nationhood is. Notwithstanding that, though, I imagine that as we evolve, as we develop, as we become a more mature democracy, there are things about our democracy that will look different. There are things about our democracy that we hope to remain the same. I mean, there are some things that are the old landmark. I continue to be a fervent believer that you know, I don't think it a mistake that our Constitution was preambled and that the preamble to that Constitution gives the spirit with which the law of the Bahamas is to be understood. And although in our conservative ways, and I'm going to tell you this, you're not going to find somebody who is more Christian than I am. You're equally not going to find somebody who is more liberal than I am. So I consider myself liberal Christian, although my good friend Bishop Denzel Clark states that he's not sure there's such a thing as a liberal Christian. But I want to play this into your psyche, right? Because I don't know if this is how we approach nationhood. And I think it is something that we ought to consider every time we do consider nationhood. Kermit?
And if Bahamians aren't prepared to stand up and fight and defend their own Bahamas, then you don't deserve to have it.
And so, as we move throughout the show today, let me give you the numbers. 323-6232-3254-316-3254-259. You can text me on 4224796. I'll say it again for you. The numbers are 3236232325 4316-325-4259. You can text me on 4224796. Now I'm challenged with certain things, right? I want to start off with a little bit of last week's news. Last week, you know by now, the U.S. Embassy decided that they would fly a flag, right? They decided in their wisdom that they would go ahead and fly a flag on a property that was theirs or that is theirs, and that they would do so, to be a direct symbol of the Biden's administration. It was in the Nassau Guardian. What day is this? This is the 2nd of June, right? And the article written by Jasper Ward says, the rainbow flag was raised for the first time on the grounds of the United States Embassy in Nassau and at Liberty Overlook, the official residence of the U.S. Chief of Missions yesterday. The move was done to commemorate the start of LGBTQIA Pride Month. This is indeed a global initiative, said Daniel DeRosso, the embassy's public affairs officer, while appearing on the Guardian Radio 96.9 FM Morning Blend show with Dwight Strawn. This is really a straightforward message from the Biden administration, and that is, no matter who they are or who they love, all human beings should be treated with respect and dignity and should be able to live free of fear, free of stigma, free of discrimination. Nobody should have to be afraid of being who they are, and that's the message ultimately that we're sending by, as you said, flying the pride flag from the U.S. Embassy and from the official residence this month. Okay, and then, of course, you know, the Christian Council, they kind of had a spat about it, right? So the Christian Council, there is another article here written, and it says, the Bahamas Christian Council last night slammed the United States Embassy in Nassau after it raised the rainbow flag or pride flag over its embassies yesterday, charging that it was insensitive to the Bahamian moral position on homosexuality. A U.S. embassy spokesman said that the move was done to commemorate the start of LGBTQIA Pride Month. Does that get longer every year? Anyway, the BCC said it supports the right of each Bahamian to determine their own sexuality preference and does not believe in the mistreatment of citizens, regardless of their sexual orientation. However, we do not believe that the foreign governments who are guests in our country should leverage their influence to promote lifestyles that are inconsistent with the ideology of our country. The BCC said in a statement, the Bahamas is a sovereign democratic nation that determines its own ideals, norms, and laws. We respect the right of each nation to promote their beliefs in their own countries. We see the position of the United States Embassy as overreaching and insensitive to the moral and ideological position of this country regarding the lifestyle of homosexuality. The Bahamas believes in the traditional family structure of one man and one woman, hence the decision to hoist and fly the pride flag in a country whose moral and Judeo-Christian position is not only evident, but prominent, is deeply concerning and could easily be perceived as offensive to many of our citizens. Okay. So, that's thing number one, right? Let me firstly say, I am not going to disagree with the Christian church. I believe that the job of the Christian church is to preach the gospel. I don't ever understand why people are upset with the church for doing what it was that they were mandated to do in the book that they consider the book that their foundation is built upon. It's the Bible, right? And so they have decided that according to the laws that govern the Christian church, they are going to preach the gospel. And that is what they are doing. So the people that say to me things like, who the hell the Christian Council think they are? I'll tell you who they think they are. They think they're the Christian Council, right? I wouldn't imagine that the Christian Council would come out here and say, oh, yes, let's just everybody be gay and happy. I wouldn't. Then I would have a problem with them, right? So I think they're doing what it is that the Christian Council ought to be doing. They ought to be the moral conscience, the moral voice for the population. I think where the Christian Council errs, though, is that the Christian Council must not approach Christianity or morality with such specificity, all right? I think it is equally as immoral for you to allow hotel workers to have been furloughed for 15 and 16 months with mass uncertainty and not know where their next dollar was coming from before the Christian church, one of the largest populations in the Bahamas, put some sort of force towards the government and caused them to do what was right, All right. One of the greatest sins that the Bible talks about is the act of usury. One of the other things the Bible talks about, if you remember the story of, I think it is, was it Esau? The one where he sold his birthright because he was in a desperate position. Those are the kinds of teachings that the Bible tells us is outright wrong and that they ought not happen, right? And I think that if the Christian Council loaned its voice to that conversation a little bit more, they wouldn't be, people wouldn't look at them with eyes that are as jaundiced as the one that they have now. All right? And so I'm going to, in one breath of air, I'm going to agree with the position of the Christian Council. I believe that through diplomatic means, there ought to have been another way where, man, y'all could have draped the building in the colors. We wouldn't have been none the wiser. But I'm saying when you fly the flag, right? I believe, and I notice that people are subtly becoming more and more overt with their positions, subtly. And so I subtly want to become more overt with my position, right? I do not support same-sex marriages, right? I believe the way marriage is understood in the Bahamas is by, as the preamble says, Christian interpretation of what a marriage is, right? And I believe, this is the gospel according to Levin, that all marriages in the Bahamas ought to be seen that way. Now, in the same breath of air, I would have no difficulty supporting same-sex civil unions. But as long as you do not try to tamper with the institution of marriage, in my opinion, I don't think you should offend the Christian church or any right-thinking human being that understands the way law works. All right? And so that is where I am with the Christian Council and that. But I really would like for the Christian Council to also join us in a couple other fights, right? There are children right now who have never been on the learning program or platform. I think as the largest population of people in the Bahamas, and I want to say a special good morning to the Bishop Delton Vananda. He's one of my favorite people. But when you have a population as large as the Christian church, your reach is one that is unimaginable. You seep into every corridor, every crevice of the Bahamian society, and you ought to affect it, right? It is easy to be salt in the Bahamas because it's so much of y'all. We should be salty. It should be easy to be light in the Bahamas because the Christian church is so big in the Bahamas, it ought to be the brightest thing in the room. And so, beloved, I say to you, you know, preach this gospel wherever you go. But in preaching the gospel, make sure that you come and you lend the voice of the Christian church to some issues that are less flamboyant. All right? That's thing number one. Thing number two, I see Lanisha Roll in the House of Assembly. And again, the lines are open. You can give me a call. But let me get some of this stuff out of my head first. I see Lanisha Roll is in the House of Assembly yesterday, kicking and screaming, boy. You know, oh, what a wonder 4 years makes, right? So 4 years ago, Hubert Minnis was the greatest invention since they discovered that hot bread and cheese go good together. As far as Lanisha Roll was concerned, her pecking order was possibly God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, her husband. I don't know if she has children, but maybe children. Well, definitely her daddy, because them two really love one another. And somewhere in the sphere right there, Hubert Minnis, all right? But I couldn't, I cannot believe that he was any lower than that, for sure. You would recall, she would go to bat and go to task for Hubert Minnis time and time again, all throughout the 2017 general elections. And of course, I wasn't watching it as closely because, you know, at that time, I contested as an independent candidate, right? And but I do remember that she was one of the people that towed water for the Minnis administration. She was for what was then the Minnis-led opposition, right? And I listened to her yesterday, and she sounds like a woman that has been dragged and battered, right? And what is, again, laughable to me, right? And I want you all to kind of think about this in the same vein that the former Prime Minister, Sir Lyndon, is talking about, right? If Bahamians aren't prepared to stand up and fight and defend the Bahamas that they say they want, then they don't deserve to have it, right? So we have all of these woman groups, 1,000 of them. I mean, Zonta, Fonta, man, do you want her? They got 1 million woman groups. 1 million. If something and this is Levan Miller, if something regarding female sexuality became a hot button issue today, you'd have to toe the line to get into the press conference. Yet, an administration took its lone female cabinet minister, unceremoniously fired her under a cloud of suspicion. The prime minister said that he would address it. That never happened. All right? And not a single one of these woman movement, all the woman that would lose them, ain't never one time come and say, you know something, we cannot do this to this wife and mother, to this Bahamian daughter, to our Bahamian sister. Mr. Prime Minister, you ought to either levy charges or you ought to come back with a detailed reasoning as to why you said or why it was said what was said about Ladisha Road. And as much as I shake no pom-poms for Ladisha, I promise you she's not on my favorite people list. Right? Just in case you was wondering if, you know, I only have a favorite people list. No, I have a not on my favorite people list as well. Y'all, and I mean the woman group them, y'all let this woman get dragged in the press up and down. She thief the money and la-da-da-da and all kind of foolishness. And I haven't heard, and you know, I know what they're going to say. Oh, we reached out to her in private. And foolishness. Because just how you could be very overt and very public in every other instance that you imagine there will be a camera, I think you ought to go and make sure you stand in solidarity with your sister, right? And the poor woman's not like she won't cry yesterday. And she says she doesn't believe that this prime minister believes in democracy because she believes the democratic process should have been to allow her to run and let the people decide if they wanted her. But she wasn't given that chance. And not a single, mom is the word, not a single word from none of the woman group them. Not a single one. Months later. Yet they want me to believe that they support all women in the Bahamas. My foot. And if you could disagree with me, 323-623-2323-254-316-325-4259. Let's move on. There are some other things in the news. I tell you, I'm talking in the news this morning. You can feel free to join me. All right. And again, I want us to think about it in the same vein as the former prime minister. When we think about the building of nationhood, there are going to be some things that are going to be uncomfortable. What are those things, and how many of them are we prepared to fight for? And what does that fight look like? What will that fight look like? And what will we look like when the fight is done? When the fight is over, will there be a removal from the preamble, the underpinning of Christian principles and values? When the fight is over, will there be greater inclusion of homosexual marriages in the fabric of the tapestry that is the Bahamas? When the fight is over, will there be cabinets that do not consist of women until you strong arm a prime minister and basically trip him down and kick him on the ground to put a woman in his cabinet? When the fight is over, what will we look like? Have we even ever contemplated the fight? The fight that Sir Lyndon said that we had to have if we were, in fact, ever going to have an identity as Bahamians. If we were ever, in fact, going to enjoy a Bahamas. If the Bahamas was what we wanted, we had to fight. What do those fights look like? And how do they mature us? How do we look afterward? What is our stench afterwards? Because the more I look at it, the more I begin to wonder and I begin to think that we're not getting it right. You see, because I can actually look at a emergency order that says that, you know, one set of people could go crab at 8 o'clock. The next set of people could go crab at 10 o'clock. And I don't understand it. The crabs in North Andres Kermit must be lazy crabs because they don't come out till 10. But the crabs in Cat Island, they just come out 8 o'clock because you could go crabbing from 8 o'clock in Cat Island. And you can't go crabbing until 10 o'clock in Andrus. And I don't understand what's the difference. I mean, unless, of course, there's some scientific data, because you know they have to always say that there's scientific data to support this, right? What is the scientific data? And let me read the emergency order for you today. Don't say I'm lying on them. Emergency order. New updates to the emergency orders for Andrus and Cat Island. The daily curfew for South Andrus and the Berry Islands has been moved from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. in accordance with the Emergency Powers COVID-19 Management and Recovery Amendment Number 3. The amended order, effective immediately, also permits businesses on South Andros and the Berry Islands to operate between 6 a.m. and 9 p.m. This is where it gets interesting, because I can't figure out who put this amount of thought into crabs. The harvesting of crabs is now permitted on Berry Island during the curfew hours from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. Residents of South Andros should note that the harvesting of crabs continues to be permitted during the curfew from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. On North Andros and Central Andros and Cat Island, farmers are now permitted to attend their farms to water, tend, and harvest between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. in accordance with the Emergency Powers COVID-19 Pandemic Management and Recovery North Andros, Central Andros, Cat Island Lockdown Amendment Number 4. School examinations are also permitted on North and Central Andros and Cat Island during the lockdown period under the amended order. This is where it gets interesting. Harvesting of crabs is permitted on Cat Island between the hours of 8 p.m. and 5 a.m. or as otherwise approved by the Royal Bahamas Police Force officer in charge. Residents on North Andros and Central Andros should note that the harvesting of crabs between the hours of 8 p.m. and 5 a.m. or as otherwise approved by the Royal Bahamas Police Force officer in charge, is also permitted. So how did we determine, right? And this is so crazy, because the same guy that is the MP for the North Andros constituency happens to be the Member of Parliament for the Berry Island constituency. Remember, it's North Andros and the Berry Island. So how are the crabs in North Andros harvestable at 8 p.m., but the ones in the Berry Islands aren't harvestable till 10 p.m.? Like, is there some special science surrounding it? And then, you say that COVID-19 is rampaging the community, ravaging the communities, of North Andros and the Berry Islands and these places, right? But I should send my five-year-old, who cannot know the difference between social distance if I write it on a piece of paper for him, and I should send him out. You don't imagine that that's the fastest way to bring it back into my house? When we say we have to fight for a country, do we ever really consider what that fight will look like? Because sometimes it looks to me as though it's a fight between the who's and the who's not. Sometimes I want to ask, and I stole this from Leon Wallace, who you with, man, us or them? Because I'm never really sure whose behalf the government of Bahamas works for. Because the same prime minister or competent authority that would oversee this amendment, the same attorney general that would prosecute this amendment if someone breached it, still permits members of their party and the son of the attorney general to campaign. So are we in a situation that is dire or not? Are we trying to curb COVID or not? Are we more concerned with COVID in the first wave than we are in the third wave? Because we're not acting very concerned. And if we are acting this callous now, then what was the emergency in the beginning? If Bahamians aren't prepared to fight and defend their own Bahamas, they don't deserve to have it. But what does the fight look like? I've got some more to go on with, but let me take a couple of these calls. Good morning, Callie. You're on. Callie, you there?
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so nice topic, as usual, Ivan. Well, Ivan, the one you first mentioned, I don't think, well, I believe, as you believe, in man and woman marriage. So I honestly, truthfully, if it's one thing I feel vehement, we like controversy and we like scenery.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ever see our country getting to that same sex marriage thing ever. I don't see it. You may say, well, bro, how are you so sure? I just think we just nitpick and cherry pick what we really, really want to fight for. Just like how we accuse or not accuse. I know they accuse them too. That the Christian Council, they open their mouth on various issues. And a lot of times when we really need them to open their mouth and be substantially stronger and vocal, they sit with mums the word, as you said earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like certain topics either become taboo, hands off, or we just didn't want to address it now. But then the world is moving at that pace.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, people all around the world are now gravitating to the same-sex marriage thing, endorsing it.
Well, the superpower of the world is, so I mean, I don't imagine that the rest of the world will kick.
No, what I'm saying is a great portion of the world is embracing a large portion of the U.S., like
mm-hmm.
it was.
Mm-hmm.
The part of the U.S., if you check it out historically, we like the two what people, Grammy say, follow fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So, but like I said, I don't see that ever happening, not in this Bahama land. Being tolerated, being endorsed, no type of violence towards persons who want to lean in that direction. But I don't think we're going to ever see that happen, not in our lifetime. I seriously doubt it. Now, the Lanisha Roll thing, you know what is so sad about politics?
Mm-hmm.
And you said it so quite clearly. This is a lady that, like you said, she carried brief, she carried water, she carried every high political accolade that she could give to the prime minister at that time in opposition.
Yeah.
As a man worthy of the job and a man worthy of guiding our country. And I strongly do subscribe to all the things that Dr. Minister's done. There have been some missteps and some stuff that should have been better thought of. But here's the thing. Why am I so good yesterday? Why am I so excellent? Why am I the preferred choice yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Now it doesn't go your way. I'm the demon. I'm Rip Van Winkle. I mean, nail me to the cross. And it speaks volume more not to the character of Dr. Minnis, but to the character of the person casting aspersions, because now the public will clearly see, well, you know something? It's just sour grapes. You're just eating sour grapes, and now you're just spitting out the seed to let the world know those grapes were sour.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't sour when you had your post. It wasn't sour when you was getting everything to go your way.
I guess that's the balance of life, right? That's the balance of life. But we let us try not to pretend that we don't remember, right? That the way she was removed from the cabinet was unlike we've seen the other removals. You disagree with that?
No, I agree with you. But remember, too, now, Dr. Minnis said he would address it, right?
And he didn't.
If you remember correctly, he mm-hmm. also said, and if you, I hope you remember this,
mm-hmm.
it was in the papers, it was stated by the doctor that then minister, she was not under investigation.
Yes, I remember that. Yes, after about, what was it, 2 weeks maybe of public speculation back and forward about. But why would we do that to her? Why did that need to be done?
But like I said, I mean, his reason behind, like he said he would address it now. Maybe after 2 weeks when he said, listen, if you're wondering, Ms. Roll is on an investigation. Maybe that was his way of addressing it, but I think, you know, us as Bahamians, we want more details and more meat than just the bone you throw away.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to know. Why, okay, let's say for the sake of argument, okay, fine, it was an accusation. Why is she no longer under investigation? Maybe that's what they wanted to hear.
Well, then you would have to tell us, okay, if she ain't under investigation, then why was she removed from the cabinet?
Well, like I said, I mean, it leaves one to wonder, like you said, as to why. So like I said, I mean, you know, I carry no brief for this role, like I said,
mm-hmm.
but it's just sort of kind of ironic that, you know, you're now seeing a different side of the coin because it looks things didn't go away.
I could appreciate that. But I want you to take this point. I think these woman group have done her a disservice because none of them have come to her rescue. All right? Let's take another one. Good morning, Callie. You're on. Callie there? Let's take another one. Good morning, Callie. You're on. Not there. 323-622-3253-163-325-4259. That's the number. 4224796 is my text line. You can give me a call. Now, let me shift gears a little bit. When we live in a universe, right, we will find that there are people, and I'm still talking about the Bahamas and what we wanted to look like after the fight. There are people that are going to be deemed men of resolve, right? And men of resolve have an obligation to exercise that resolve. They have an obligation to exercise that resolve with temperament. And I have to say that whenever you ascend to a certain level in public life, you have to be as sagacious as possible with regards to what the outcome of your utterances will be or mean. You have to wrap yourself in judicious behavior. You have to be measured in everything. And I'm talking about Desmond Bannister now. Because I want to tell you that outburst yesterday in the news teethers on possibly being offensive to the court. And I've had some counsel on it. And I think the scale is 50-50 that some people may consider it offensive to the court, others may not. But when men of a certain stature do not exercise their resolve, what do we expect from the lesser in the society? I'm going to let you hear the clip from the Minister of Works and the Deputy Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of Bahamas. And I'll tell you this, you know. If by chance he had used his privilege, right? Like, had he said the very same thing on his feet in the House of Assembly, I would say, as much as I don't like it, he's protected by his privilege. And as such, he is at liberty to do so. Because in life, there will be times of exemption. All right? And as much as I don't agree with everything in the system all the time, the system works a certain way. Like Brenzel Rule so aptly informed us yesterday that, oh no, we ain't breaking no rule by having a director campaign while he still have a government job. That's why we ain't nominate him and we ain't name him. Because the rules say, as long as we don't name him, he could have his job. But saying that the rules say, don't make me feel better. I ain't saying you wrong. I just saying I feel better about it. I ain't saying it bad, I just saying it feel bad. But had Mr. Bannister, the Deputy Prime Minister, the Honorable Desmond Bannister, used this same language in the Parliament of the Bahamas, I would say, well, he's cloaked in privilege and we'll have to let it ride. But I think I am of the opinion that the judge ought to at least look down her nose at him. Because I think what he is doing amounts to demagoguery, actually, in an attempt to sway public opinion in a direction that will thrust their public policy. And we all know that the policy is never the law. And I don't understand why would he take issue with the fact that when you consider the issue of the shanty towns in Abaco, the amount of issues attached to that, whether they are... whether it is the issue of nationality, whether it is the issue of property ownership, whether it is the issue of constitutionally protected Bahamians in waiting, there are so many issues there to be vacillated between counsel on both sides, to be ventilated before the face of the court, that I can understand the court saying, listen, give me a chance to consider this. But for you to come out, especially as somebody that is called to the bar, and to say that the ruling of the court isn't worth the paper that it's written on, man, if I was a judge, I would have been offended. I might as well tell you. So let me let you hear it, right? Because I believe that men of resolve ought to exercise sagacious behavior. They ought to exercise judicious temperament, and they ought to ensure that everything they do is measured, particularly in the public eye. Let's hear from the Deputy Prime Minister.
For anybody to go on any land and put up any structure they want and not comply with the law, to enforce the law, the government is going to have to make an application to a judge. You know how silly that sounds?
Grant Thompson also said in the view of the court, Dorian was used as a shield to remove shantytown structures without reference to the court.
I'm concerned about the...
said the judge, we're going to go to the second clip from him as well, because the judge never said that they could go anywhere and put up any building anywhere and that you would have to come to the court. No, the judge said, listen, y'all keep pushing on houses under the guise of Hurricane Dorian, etc., whatever y'all doing. the arm of the state is to ensure that they don't build no more, because the injunction also says that they can't build anymore. But in the meantime, right, there is a housing crisis, and I can't just let y'all push houses down all over the place. So give the court a chance to consider this. You don't have to agree with me. Take leave, go to the appellate court. But the court's ruling is that the injunction would stand for the whole of Abaco, and when the court has considered it, the court will rule on it. Until such time, there is an injunction. You don't get to then say that the judgment of the court is not worth the paper it's written on. You don't also then get to practice this fearmonger that, oh, you know what that means? These people could go and bill anywhere and do anything and go in Treasure Key and bill. It'll never happen. Let's hear from the Deputy Prime Minister again.
Government to stop further demolition in shanty towns on Abaco unless it has court approval. This as the Attorney General asserted the government intends to mount a challenge. Jasmine Brown reports.
It was the Public Works Minister who had the strongest reaction to that court decision, as he described it as simply silly.
We can't protect ourselves now. It is nonsense. It's not where the paper's written on.
Implementation of the policy was halted after an injunction banning the demolition of shanty towns on New Providence and parts of Abaco was granted by Supreme Court Justice Cheryl Grant Thompson that same year. However, the government started demolition of more than 50 farm shantytown homes that were erected after the 2018 ruling. In her ruling on Monday, Grant Thompson said prior to any further demolition taking place on Abaco, evidence that the homes selected for demolition are in fact in breach of the law should first be presented to and approved by the court to ensure fair play.
It is now open season for anybody to go on any land and put up any structure they want and not comply with the law.
And the Deputy Prime Minister, in my estimation, is being disingenuous, because that is not at all the implication that I get from the ruling of the court. As a matter of fact, when counsel opposite tried to get the judge to give the ruling for the entire Bahamas, she stood that down and has agreed to rule for Abaco. So the judge, in her own estimation, has taken into consideration that she's not trying to create a free-for-all. But again, Mr. Bannister, we, people in public life, people with public platforms, have to consider what the utterances of our lips mean to the people that we speak into, lives we speak into. And you never... You remember the game I told you on Monday you should play when you say something stupid? You should go look in the mirror and play the Latin game? This morning, sir, I invite you to go and play the game. Look yourself in the mirror, listen to that clip, and then repeat the Latin word. You know it. Owa, tenaz, I am. Because if you cause the citizenry of the Bahamas to question its judiciary, then where will the government turn, where will citizens turn, when people lack confidence in the judiciary? Why would you cannibalize the judiciary then? It doesn't make sense. They are an arm of the state. Anyway, let's take another call. Good morning, call. You're on. Not there. Next call. Good morning, call. You're on. Nope, not there. Good morning, call. You're on. Okay, let's try it again. Good morning, call. You're on.
Yes, good morning, Levan. How are you?
I feel good.
Oh, that's wonderful. And you're always doing a hell of a good job, man. You know, this is just another cabinet minister doing the same thing. The cabinet minister did with Barbara Hanna, mm-hmm. and the national security minister. They were deemed egregious. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is a little bit more. Okay, this cabinet, the Moultrie man, mm-hmm. he is talking a lot, but they are displaying exactly what he's saying. Okay, mm-hmm. it is very confusing and very wrong. It is no leadership worth for our children to follow or understand. Mm-hmm. You know, but thanks for letting me share, sir.
Thank you very much. Let me take one more. Good morning, caller. You're on. Is the caller there? Good morning, caller.
Morning, Mr. Miller.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Not bad. How are you?
I feel like I'm in the best shape,
Miller. Mm-hmm. You said it's open line, right?
It is.
Hmm?
Mm-hmm. Go on.
First of all, I love everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Because God made all nations one blood.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot go to no nations and build shanty towns.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to allow it.
I don't disagree.
Hello?
I don't disagree with you. Go on.
Hmm?
I don't disagree with you. Go on.
You don't agree with what I'm saying?
I do not disagree. Huh? I do not disagree with you.
Well, okay. They are going to allow it.
Mm-hmm.
The Creator God set up human government. No judge or magistrate has the power over the government. Government have a job to do, and the government must do their job. All the shiny towns in the Bahamas must come down.
Mm-hmm.
No human rights people have no authority mm-hmm. over the Bahamas government.
Sure.
So government have a job to do,
uh-huh.
and the government must do their job. Thanks, Mr. Miller. Have a blessed and safe day.
I appreciate you very much. Listen to me. If the court don't have no power, then I dare them to go push another one down, and we'll see. It's as simple as that. I mean, without the court, where would civility be? Anyway, let me read a couple of these text messages. I see the call, John. Don't go anywhere. I'm coming. Good morning, Mr. Miller. Mark Alpine for the win. I come into Mark Alpine. I saving my whole last 10 minutes for Mark. Leaving you mashing a lot of corn today, but you're speaking through. Thank you very much. MPs want a raise. You think they had good? You ride a crab, a Cat Island crab, or Andrew's crab? Azure. Morning, Leaving. I have no sympathy for those FNM MPs who get to in by this lousy prime minister. That's good for them because they never defended the Bahamian people from this lousy dictator prime minister. Good morning, Mr. Miller. The U.S. Embassy representative said that they will fly that flag in Muslim populations too. Anyone contacted them to find out if they did, or hoisting that flag in the Bahamas was just another bully tactic. I don't know. I did Google this morning to find out how many of their embassies have the flag flown. It was a little more difficult to find than I thought, so I'm going to try to look again because I want to see where all they are in fact flying it. But I'm advised that they're flying it at all their embassies. I'm going to look. Good morning, Levin. Man, you're all finally starting to get my name right. It feels so good to see my actual name. These women group didn't come to her rescue because their support and alliance is concentrated on cliques and class. Simply, notice the names that always seem to have recognition. They're clowns and jokers. No problem. Levin, the woman group ain't serious. Just like the human rights group that make no uproar when children are murdered in this country, they all cherry-pick their bias fights. This says, this is a lot. Good morning, Levin. The last time I checked, the U.S. Embassy is U.S. property. They can fly whatever flag they feel like. The Christian Council need to pretend that individuals with an alternative lifestyle don't serve in their churches. Has the church forgotten free will? Will they seek to ban the alternative lifestyle shows on TV? How far do they actually want to go? I mean, listen, I am with the church in their mandate. Preach the gospel. Preach it in the highways and the byways. Preach it in season and out. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul said to Timothy? Dear Timothy, I beseech you to preach the gospel. Preach it in season, preach it out of season. Preach it in the highways, preach it in the byways. So I don't get mad at them for doing that. Also, Levin, though I concur that the Prime Minister should have explained what was under investigation in regards to Mrs. Roll, was she under investigation or were her claims of bullying under investigation? But didn't young directors in the ministry she was at the helm complain about her being an alleged bully? The intellectual dishonesty is truly frightening. Finally, making the move to Abaco today to start putting up a triplex. By the time the court is done, I'll have the community of triplexes. This is what I think that Supreme Court ruling means. I agree with the DPM. Okay, the ruling was ridiculous. I don't say that you can't think the ruling was ridiculous. I just think you ought to be judicious in your temperament when you are in public life and offer public utterances. You never want to create doubt in the system. That is what you try to do when you are in public life. Let's take a call. Good morning, caller. You're on. Not there. It's like when the Commodore, right? It's like when the commander of the Defense Force hears that there was a flotilla that left Haiti. And he knows that he have two ships. And he get on the eastern end of New Providence and they got a Haitian running in every direction of the compass. All 32 of the directions. Do you know what it is his job to come out there and say? The Royal Bahamas Defense Force would like the public to be advised that we have the matter in hand. My men are on the ground and I have vessels at sea. We are going to continue to do everything we can to keep the Bahamian population safe. It is my intention to ramp up shoreline patrols and navigational sea patrols. We assure you that we are doing everything we can with the assets that we are afforded. And I want the Bahamian people to rest assured that your commander, Defense Force, has his hand firmly around this matter and we will deal with this and have it all squared away in short course. What he can do is come out here and say, Jesus, the Haitian them everywhere. Everywhere I look, Haitian, all over the beach. I don't know what I could do. It is because no matter what happens, you ought to make sure that people believe in the system. That's why you don't send 150 police out there to barricade 20,000 laborers, because that's a stupid fight to pick. So what you do is you let the people march, and then you come out the day after and say, you know, I hear y'all out of march, you know. Y'all better be lucky I didn't tell y'all no, because if I did miss and tell y'all no and y'all did fool with that, oh, trust me, it was going to be me and y'all, and take my word for it, it was going to be plenty more of me than y'all. But there would have been no way for us to qualify or quantify that statement. There would have been no way for them to prove it, right? And the people got what they wanted, and you get to maintain confidence in the system because you didn't put the system in a position where it could falter. Mm-mm. These fellas don't have that kind of common sense. Let's take another one. Good morning, caller. You're on. Not there. Next one. Good morning, caller. You're on. Caller, I could hear you. What's up?
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's up, Levan? What's up, my brother?
I feel good.
All is well?
Mm-hmm.
But Mr. Rule, I heard when I, you know, I was working the same time, but I was listening to your talk show when you spoke a little earlier about the lady, Mrs. Anisha Rule.
Mm-hmm.
But what you said, how is it that women in particular, like persons like Miss Sandra Dean Patterson from the right,
what's
that?
The woman group, so, whichever ones, I'm sure.
You know, in like you say, they have all kind of different organizations, mm-hmm. right? But at the end of the day, when that person was at one of the most critical part of this country is social service.
Mm-hmm.
When you see Mr. Rule, you know, sometimes you got to ask
yourself.
That's the second
time you call me Rule now, do it.
You have to ask yourself why? Mm-hmm. And that's a serious question. That's what I have to say on that.
Okay. All right.
You know, but you know, last but not least,
mm-hmm.
when I listened to Mr. McElpine yesterday, and
you're pulling me too early, do it. I come into that right now. Stand by. Don't pull me early. I come into that right now.
Yeah, because he pushed it. And one more last thing. Uh-huh. One last thing I want to just say, please.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Don Sanders, I don't know if you're listening or your trolls or your news toters are listening. You were not the one that caused that fire to stop. You were not the one that saved those houses,
and
Mr.
I know
Sanders.
For, and
I was there that Sunday.
And I know for sure, that sound like the people money they bragging about giving away.
You understand what I'm
NIB,
saying? And
he's
saying
Graham.
That go around in the communities and see the money on the ground. No longer than this morning, I can say this on your radio. Someone from Tall Pines called Leslie Miller asking for help, Mr. Sanders. So where is this money? Where is this money that you claim is on the ground, in particular
know.
Tall Pines? Because for some reason, Mr. Miller, I don't see it. And I'd be out every blessed day.
All right. Appreciate you, DeWitt. Listen, so now, in case you want to know, and I don't agree with Carl Bettle ever in life, right? Like, ever. Not even a half a time. But I thought Carl Bettles, the Attorney General, the Honorable Carl Bettle, let me make sure y'all don't say, oh my God, he's so rude. He called him Carl, like his mummy named him Carl. But anyway, the Honorable Carl Bettle, the Attorney General, QC, Commonwealth of the Bahamas, let's listen to what he had to say about the judge's ruling. And this is what I mean by sagacious, judicious temperament and deportment. Carl Bettle, the Attorney General.
Carl Bethel says the Minnis administration will not rest its case.
I met with counsel involved in the matter this morning as well. We respectfully disagree with the reasoning of the learned judge. We respectfully disagree with the conclusions arrived at by the learned judge. And we will be appealing or seeking leave from the judge to appeal on the basis of urgency.
Reporting for R News, I'm Jasmine Brown.
And you hear the difference? Listen, we don't agree, but it's a democracy. The judge has made her ruling. We disagree. We intend to seek leave for an appeal. And Thomas Bannister is a lawyer as well. So whatever that little foot rolling over on the ground and kicking and screaming was about yesterday, I don't know. Anyway, let's shift gears one last time. Call us. I see your line. Sure, I can be able to get to you all. Man, wasn't that something yesterday from Frederick McElpine? That was something yesterday from... Listen, I don't care. And before you all say, I's a PLB, I want publicly declare that I continue to tell you all, I's a I for Tanya FNM. That should tell you something, right? I think Fred McElpine yesterday Although adding very little to the numbers portion of the debate, and he has no portfolio, so he's doing exactly what he's in there to do, and that is to talk on the people's behalf. I feel like he had his thumb perfectly on the pulse. He had his finger perfectly on the pulse of where the Bahamian people are with this administration. And he talked about the fact that this government somehow is building a sense of resentment with the Bahamian people. That the Bahamian people are not seeing from them what they said they would do. You should go and check him out on Facebook. I thought it was a brilliant contribution. But here's the news clip from it last night.
Pine Ridge MP Frederick McAlpine dug into the government over decisions made over its term so far, saying many government MPs will pay for their deeds. McAlpine says the arrogance that the government has displayed to the Bahamian people is coming back to haunt it.
The way some of you who sat and sit in cabinet allowed this economy to depreciate, many of you would not allow your business to operate the way you operated in government. Many of the business decisions this government has made on behalf of the Bahamian people, you would not have made it for yourselves. Bahamas, they're now coming to the peasants that they believe we are. While they strutted around for 4.5 years like prince and princesses.
McAlpine mincing no words in highlighting the government's campaigning, saying it appears the FNM wants people to play forget.
Now you want to convince us it's about our future when you've ignored us in the past while selling us dreams and schemes in the present? Mr. Speaker, now this is an election year and they want us to forget their ignorance, their arrogance, incompetence, offensiveness, disrespect, haughtiness, and self-aggrandization.
The Pine Ridge MP, no stranger to criticizing the government's decisions, says the government has done more blocking than advancing, and that Bahamians will remind them who is really in control.
They want you to believe that we will forget how they put former politicians in handcuffs and even one on crutches, while a citizen who testified in that case, and when he was charged, went to court without even an escort.
Well,
and so, say what you like, right? When I used to play softball, believe it or not, there was a time in my life when my body was capable of softball. You know, one of the worst things in life, Kermit, even if you play bat and ball in the ghetto, one of the worst things in life is to have a fella who could bat on you left hand and right hand. And I don't care what did you say, it looked to me like when it comes to Hubert Bittes, boy, Fred McAlpine could bat him left hand and right hand. It don't matter. But however he pitch it, somehow it looked like Freddie Mac could hit it out the park. Anyway, let me knock on a couple more of these text messages. It says, how long does the justice need to take to rule? Furthermore, there were no houses left after Dorian, so where did those houses come from? Let me stop right there. And that is where the government failed. The government had an obligation, a fiduciary obligation, to ensure that there were no new houses constructed, because the injunction says that there shouldn't be any new ones constructed. So now the arm of the state must work. You know, like how the law says you can't murder? And so the arm of the state must do all that it can to stop you from murdering. But once you've murdered, they can't just carry you to Fox Hill. They got to carry you to the court. Anyway, that's my music. I'm out of time. When Sir Lyndon Penland said that Bahamians had to stand and fight and defend their country, do we as people ever consider what that fight would look like? What would we look like after the fight? How would we smell once the fight was done? That is something I think we ought to consider more as we go through our development as a nation. Anyway, I'm leaving Miller. It's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, the your station for fresh news and smart talk. Don't move. The revolution with Warren McCartney is next.
Glory. Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon. Formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.